אוקיי, גוטה וחר בו ישי. ברשוס. With everybody's permission, I actually want to do something a little different this week. This is our last Shir Mirtzah Hashem before Shavuos. So, and we're beginning, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is this week. So, with everyone's permission, I would like to veer our attention, since, truth to be told, it's not like we're that focused on the text when we're learning the Chovos HaLevavos. So we can very much consider this also very in line with everything we're learning in Chovos HaLevavos. But what I want to do is actually learn the parsha of the Jewish people arriving at Har Sinai, which is a very, very poignant and charged parsha. The anniversary of that event is actually this week. Shavuos is next week. But we arrived at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. I apologize. Okay, I see that people came to the shul. I showed up about 2 minutes late. The doors were locked. So I apologize to anybody who came to the shul. I'll just say in general, okay, the lights and air we figured out. The doors, okay, I forgot about that. The frontmost door is usually open. The metal door on the right side. But again, I apologize to anybody who came and didn't find us. But, okay. So I want to give a little bit of background here. Let's appreciate what we're heading toward. We're heading toward the culmination of the Sphira process and building up to the very, very great event of our rendezvous with Hashem at Har Sinai. So let's just put this into context for a moment. We've discussed plenty of other opportunities, the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, appreciating the magnitude of what those experiences were in terms of the Jewish people being exposed to who Hashem is and to seeing his immense care for them. When the Jewish people went through the processes of Yetzias Mitzrayim, saw each of the 10 Makkos, culminating with Becheiros, the whole experience of the Karban Pesach while Makkos Becheiros is going on outside was something beyond description. We've elaborated it on it other times. And Hashem basically was taking them from that point and just catapulting them from one level of revelation to another, which was really the most thrilling and awesome experiences that a human being ever experienced. To be brought so close to Hashem, to be shown Hashem's closeness in such a way, and from one level to the next, at something of a dizzying speed, one makkah to the next, culminating in Makkos Becheiros, going from there to Kriyas Yamsuf, which brought it to a whole new level. And at that point, the Jewish people were just so enthralled with Hashem that basically they expressed the desire of Ritzoneinu Liras Esmalkeinu. We want to actually, so to speak, to meet Hashem. They appreciated that what they had experienced throughout the Makkos at Becheiros and at Kriyas Yamsuf, each time was just a little bit more of a taste of what it means to actually be exposed to Hashem and close with Him. And they said, Ritzoneinu Liras Esmalkeinu, we want to meet our Hashem. This was after they saw how Hashem tore apart all the mightiest forces of nature. How as Hashem is leading them through the Midbar, all of nature is just kind of running away. That's how David expresses it in Tehillim. Hayom Rav, Hayona is Hayadin Yisev La'ocha, right? Hashem approaches, the sea runs away. Nature melts before Hashem. And this is the Jewish people are following him and seeing all this. And they say, we want to actually meet Hashem, a presumptuous request. But Hashem says, Okay, we can do that too. But that requires a preparation process. That's what the Sfira is. 49 days of working toward that. It's a purification process, right? The Zohar is famous that says that it's analogous to a woman going through the 7 weeks are analogous to a woman going through the 7 weeks, 7 days of purification before actually bonding with Hashem at the greatest level that was ever experienced by human beings at Har Sinai. We have to understand that that's on the part of the Jewish people. On the part of Hashem, we have to appreciate, here's how Rabbi Avigdor Miller would put it. Rabbi Avigdor Miller put it like this. He said, the simpler stage of creation was 6 days. We know that the world was created in 6 days. That was the simpler stage of creation. That was making a universe. That's all. Talking about Hashem, there's not much to that. But what was the crown jewel? The crown jewel of creation was man. Or more specifically, an Am Hashem. That's really what Hashem wanted out of this. Now, an Am Hashem is not something that Hashem just creates. If the whole universe took 6 days to create, the process of developing an Am Hashem took another 2,448 years. Because it's a very, very complex business. It involves interaction between Hashem's involvement and the people themselves, because the whole purpose of an Am Hashem is a nation that is growing close to Hashem. Hashem created man, threw man into the deep, so to speak, waiting to see when will that man arrive who's going to reach out for me and who I can start working with. This is already not something Hashem is going to create, because the whole purpose of it, Hashem created the setting. But the purpose of it was that it should come from man. This was Avraham Avinu. It took 20 generations to reach that stage. But on the contrary, it's right, this was the more complex stage of the Bria. The Bria was not complete yet. The world, Chazal expressed this, when they say that Yom HaShishi, the whole world was kind of in limbo from the sixth day of creation until that sixth day of Sivan, until the day would come when the Jewish people would receive the Torah. The world was kind of in limbo. Not exactly finished, kind of like hanging on threads to see, will the world actually reach its completion or not? And that depended on the participation of man. So it was an Avraham Avinu who actually justified the creation of man through his efforts to get close to Hashem, to get to know Hashem, to connect with Hashem. And when he came, he really was the one who justified the creation, if we'll put it that way. There were great people before him. But Avraham Avinu's level, the intensity of his dedication of going all out to understand Hashem, to connect with Hashem, to seek out Hashem's will was unprecedented. And therefore, Avraham Avinu now became the whole focus of creation. We see in the Torah, right? The Torah talks about the creation of the world and the creation of mankind. When Avraham Avinu appears on the scene, the mess of mankind recedes into the background. It's not because the Torah is a history of the Jewish people. It's not because the Torah is the story of the Jewish people. It's not why. The Torah is the story of Hashem's creation of the world, Hashem's perspective on the world. If something gets center stage in the Torah, that means that that is Hashem's central focus. It means that in Hashem's eyes, so to speak, now Avraham Avinu is the focal point of it all, and the rest of the universe, as far as Hashem is concerned, is revolving around that. And then it's the process of, because Avraham Avinu earned this privilege through his efforts, Hashem now, so to speak, dedicated himself to the process of developing, assisting, facilitating Avraham Avinu's seed to turn into Hashem's people. And that was the whole story of the slavery in Mitzrayim, the whole process of going out of Mitzrayim. But here also was this delicate give and take where Hashem set the stage, but the people had to respond right. That was the test of the Karbon Pesach. That was the test of following Hashem out into the Midbar. And it was going to culminate with the Jewish people receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, which would really complete the Bria. This is what would create a world that's now, this was the world Hashem created. Now the world is plugged in and functioning. There's a world with an Am Hashem. There's a world with a nation of Hashem that is living his Torah. And like we said before, It was a complex process. It took 2,448 years for that to develop with all of its delicate details after the basic laying down of the background, which took 6 days. And this is reaching its climax in these days. So here I want to actually, what I want to do is read the parsha inside. If you're interested, we have chumashim in the back, but you don't need. You'll be okay without. Well, we're in Parshas Yisroel. This is the parsha that's read on Shavuos morning. And I'm going to go through the psukim. Again, if you've been with us for long enough, you know that even when we're reading from a text, you don't really have to have the sefer open in front of you. But if you want, it's Shemois Perek Yud Tes. So let's read it inside and try to connect to the, if we'll call it, the electricity of the days that are coming. So the Torah says, "B'chodesh hashlishi, letzeis bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." There's a certain drama, first of all, to the way the trup is read in this pasuk. And also, it's very, very unusual that a parsha starts without the vav, without u, right? Almost always, ve, u, almost every pasuk. I don't know if almost every pasuk, but the vast majority of psukim start that way. It's always the vav, and there's depth to that. But it's almost like there's a new beginning here. B'chodesh hashlishi letzeis bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. The third month of the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim, b'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai. On this day, they arrived at Midbar Sinai. And here is the Bria reaching its climax. So let's read this next pasuk and then go back and appreciate the significance of the order of these pasukim. Vayis'u Merfidim. They traveled from Merfidim. That's the place where they were before they arrived at Midbar Sinai. If you remember, that was where they fought Amalek. That has significance. We're not going to get into that. We'll get back to that. But they traveled from Merfidim. Vayavayu Midbar Sinai. And they arrived at Midbar Sinai. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. And Israel camped there opposite the mountain. So I just want to note something in the psukim here that the mafarshim all jump at. What does the psukim say? On the third month, the Jewish people came to Midbar Sinai. They traveled from Rephidim and they arrived at Midbar Sinai. There's repetition and also a certain deviation from the correct order, right? It's kind of, it goes forward. They came to Midbar Sinai, now back up. Where'd they come from? They came from Rephidim, and then they came to Midbar Sinai. You following the difficulty here in the pasuk, right? We start by saying stage two, we back up to stage one, and then we get back to stage two. So listen to something. The Mefarshim are bothered by this, and I want to read to you what the Or HaChaim says. And this is really something like to read at the Shavuos table. The Or HaChaim says as follows, and I want to actually read it inside instead of just repeating what he said. Why does the Torah say it that way? Why does the Torah fast forward and then back up? So listen to this. These are scary words. Let's remember, Hashem created a world because he wanted to have the nachas. This is a big, deep subject. But he wanted to have the nachas of a nation of his. Kiviyachol, his children that are connected with him, that are dedicated to pleasing him, to serving him. So the Or HaChaim says as follows. Why does the Torah delay stating what happened earlier? Right? It should have said they traveled from, order was they traveled from Rephidim and then they arrived at Har Sinai. So, listen to this. He says scary words. V'ulayhu al derech oimrom avo mekalkeles hashuva. He says sometimes there's a concept called avo mekalkeles hashuva, meaning there's protocol, there's the way things ought to be, but sometimes the love emotions just kind of like bowl over proper protocol. It's the concept of sinah mekalkelet hashua, right? Like hate causes a person to act in weird ways. It says that Paroi personally went and harnessed his own chariot when he wanted to chase the Jewish people. When does a king do that? His hate was so intense that he just had to see it done, right? So here, these are the words that Achaim uses. The love was so intense that it kind of like mekalkeles hashura. It overrode the way things would normally operate. There's an order to things. But liyos ki huze yoyim hamekuvel abayir la Torah la'olam la'olayin vela tachtoinim. Now I'll just read it in English. He says, this is the day that Hashem was waiting for, that the Torah was waiting for, that the world was waiting for, that the highest of places and the lowest of places was waiting for. And from the day of the creation, they're all waiting and looking forward. Hashem's focus is, it's like there's a world, but Hashem is focused on HaSinai. When are the Jewish people going to arrive here? And therefore, when this great day finally came, he uses these words, and again, the Or HaChaim uses these words, so I'm allowed to repeat them and translate them. It says, "Le'atzru koyach lesaper seder hadavar." It's as though kiviyachol, he couldn't restrain himself and go in the right order. It's like Hashem jumped and said, "This is the day that they came to Har Sinai. Now let's back up and say what actually happened." Kiviyachol, Hashem's love is just bounding out that it's like, normally the Torah would say it in a certain order, but kiviyachol, Hashem couldn't restrain himself. Now let's understand. Right? We just have to put that into perspective. Even after I said we have the license of the Or HaChaim, we have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean Hashem couldn't restrain himself. What that means is Hashem does everything exactly perfectly. There's no such thing as Hashem being overcome by emotion. There is no such thing. But if we're seeing an expression of being overcome by emotion, what that means is that this was exactly the perfect way for things to play out. This was a time where the proper order of things is now it isn't the time for orderly description. This is a time of where the reality is being overcome with emotion. It is kiviyachol Hashem seeing his people arriving at the place where he's going to join with them. And therefore, teichev kodma ha'ida, and therefore, immediately, the Torah jumps and says, this is the day that they arrived at Har Sinai. And his terms are, higia chashuk v'nechshak l'choyshik. He says, the beloved arrived at the lover, v'samchu shamayim v'aretz, and shamayim v'aretz were rejoicing, ki zehu tachlis habriya v'tikvasam, because this was the whole focus of the Bria, and this was that the whole world, the whole cosmos was waiting for this anxiously. Afterwards, he says, we back up and we actually tell, and then the Torah backs up and says, okay, and now here's actually the order of what happened. So we're just getting a bit of an idea here of the intensity of what was actually going on here. Then what happens? The Ramban said, this is the Or HaChaim. The Ramban says something similar in his way. So yes, Vayisu Merfidim, Vayaveo Midbar Sinai. So yes, they traveled. The order is they traveled from Merfidim. They came to Har Sinai, Vayachanu Bamidbar. And they camped in the desert. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. And Yisrael camped there opposite the mountain. So here also we have to wonder, they arrived at Midbar Sinai and they camped in the Midbar. Where else would they camp? If they're in the desert, where are they going to camp? Right? They arrived at Midbar, at the desert of Sinai, and they camped in the desert. If they're in the desert, that's where they're going to camp. So the Ramban says here, it's all along the same lines, the mutual feelings, so to speak, of ecstasy and love. Because usually you arrive at a camp, you have to explore the area. You have to check out where the shadier areas, the sunnier areas. You take time before deciding. You have a nation. You're traveling with 3 million people. approximately, right, 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. You have to multiply that by probably an equivalent amount of women, and there are older people and there are younger people. Let's say somewhere between 2 and 3 million, safe guess. So you want to map it out properly. He says, no, the Jewish people were so anxious when they arrived here that they just settled down wherever they could drop their bags, so to speak. And they just went toward the mountain because they knew that this is where this great rendezvous is going to take place. Now, there are a couple of nuances in this pasuk that the Mefarshim Chazal already make a big deal about. And I want to bring it all together in a profound way. The Or HaChaim says that in this pasuk, this one pasuk beis, Torah packed into this one pasuk all of the conditions really needed that had to be in place in order for the Jewish people to really be ready to get the Torah. How's that? So he says, Vayis'um Merfidim. They traveled away, they departed from Refidim. What was Refidim? So like we mentioned before, Refidim was the place where they fought against Amalek. Chazal have a classic drasha there. They say, Amalek came to fight them in Refidim. Why in Refidim? So Chazal say Refidim is for the term Urafu Yedeh Min HaTorah. They became a little bit lax in their Torah. This was before the Torah was given. But the Jewish people already at that point were very, very intensely dedicated to whatever they could be doing to show their love and loyalty to Hashem. Whatever mitzvahs they did have at that point, they had a few mitzvahs already in place then. You have to appreciate that going out to the Midbar, when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim in those 49 days, it's analogous, to use the words, to a honeymoon. This is in general a big subject. We have to understand. We have a lot of misconception about the Dor HaMidbar and about the reality in the Midbar. But again, you have to remember that we're talking about the Jewish people who had just left Mitzrayim after seeing the most awesome scenes. Hashem refers to that later in history as Zochati lo chesed neuraich avas kulesayich. Everybody knows the song. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo yizurua. Hashem, years later, refers back to that and says, I remember the dedication of your youth. The love of our early days of marriage. That's how it's expressed. Avas kulesayich. I remember the dedication of your youth. Chesed neuraich. The love of the early days of our marriage. When you followed me into the desert, b'eretz lo yizurua. You followed me into the desert. Again, hundreds of thousands of families with little kids, without knowing where they're going to get food from, followed Hashem out into the desert. It was a time of very, very intense dedication, of love. And that's what the Yemei HaSfira were about. It was the Jewish people dedicating themselves intensely to reach the level needed to be on when they would actually meet Hashem, so to speak, when Hashem would introduce himself to them. And at Refidim, for whatever reason, there's background there, whatever, not getting into the particulars now, but there was a certain let up at that point. There was a certain let up. These people are working intensely the whole time. But they relaxed a little. There was a certain let up. And here, Amalek struck. At that let up, Amalek struck. That's the term of Chazal, Rafi Yudei Min HaTorah, meaning we have to appreciate, this is really a general theme of the whole Dor HaMidbar. I mean, like we said, it's a big subject. We know that the Dor HaMidbar were challenging times. But basically, in the Dor HaMidbar, Hashem was laying down the foundations for the standards he would be expecting of his nation. He was driving the Jewish people in the Midbar to very, very great heights. And any small slip or failure was punished intensely and quickly, because Hashem was training them to very, very high levels. And that was the first instance of that, was that they let up a little. Hashem operates with humans according to human abilities. But Hashem also, this is part of the lesson of Kabbalah HaTorah, is that Hashem is telling us as humans, you should realize, Don't take it at your own pace, because I know that you're capable of a lot more than you might realize. And I'm going to lay down a program for you that will introduce you to things that you might have not have considered yourself capable of. That's why Hashem's nation is a nation that defies nature in many ways. We've discussed that at other times, in terms of standards, in terms of moral standards, in terms of standards of chesed. Many, many ways, these are things that you just, if you would really think of it from an objective standpoint, without having really been a part of it for so many years, you would say, that's unrealistic. It's not shaykh for masses to live that way. But Lemaisa, Hashem is saying, you follow my program and I'll show you that the godly plan for a human being is something much greater than a human being might realize. So therefore, Hashem is saying, yes, I'm going to be working you hard because I want to be bringing out here Yisrael Asher B'choyes Spo'er, right? The Yisrael that Hashem could afterwards say to his Malachim, see what I'm able to make out of man? So there was a little bit of a let up and Hashem hit, Hashem struck. Don't be letting up. You didn't really need that break. So here, Vayisumer Fidim, the Baruch Haim says that that's what's being alluded to in this pasuk here. They're approaching Har Sinai ready for it. They departed from Rafidim. That's condition number one to being ready to accept the Torah. They departed from Rafidim. They went away from a state of, okay, we're going to relax now. We're going to let up now. And again, we need relaxation. I'm not getting into exactly how it works right now. We need to do it right. But you do have to realize that a relationship with Hashem is a serious business. It's not a business of doing what you need to do in order to keep your nose clean. A relationship with Hashem, you want to be the privileged nation that's going to have that? It's a life of dedication. It's a rigorous life. It's a life that you're ready to live, pushing yourself. It's rigorous. It requires vigor. It requires dedication, intensity. A just relaxed attitude in general won't work. So that's number one. You're ready to get a Torah? You're approaching Har Sinai? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to put in efforts? Are you ready to demonstrate dedication? So that's condition number one. Vayisumer Refidim. They departed from Refidim. From a state of, okay, take it easy. Vayachanu Bamidbar. And they camped in the Midbar. So here the Aruch Haim says, this is alluding to another condition that Chazal say is very necessary for really connecting with Torah. And that is when Chazal say, Ein devei Torah niknim, ela lemi shemesim atzma yoleo kemidbar. The Torah will only really be acquired by a person who makes himself into a Midbar over them. What does that mean? Chazal say, ma Midbar ze shakol doshim boy. A Midbar is a place that gets trampled over. So too, a person has to be ready to be trampled over if he really wants to connect with Torah. Meaning, humility. To suppress the ego. You know, right, the expression goes, what am I supposed to be, a doormat? Now, the answer to that is, well, you know the story with Rav Shlomo Zalman was once, he was approached by somebody who told him, he was in some position somewhere, I don't know, and he said, I don't know, I feel like people are constantly just trying to step on my toes. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, nobody manages to step on my toes, because if I see somebody trying to put his foot where my toes are, you know what I do? I move my toes away. So, in other words, don't be a doormat. But the ability to be a doormat is a very chashuv ability. To be able to decide, a person who is not capable of being a doormat is no less of a baal mum. A person who will always, you know, if ever somebody transgresses the cardinal sin of coming up against my ego, I'll be right there. That person is just as handicapped as a person who's inherently a doormat. We have to have the ability to lower our heads. We all know that this is so necessary to succeed in really building relationships in life and to really getting ahead in many areas, because even just to get ahead in business, so often you need to be able to just, if you're always going to be standing up for your pride, you're going to be ruining relationships with associates, with customers, etc. As I saw a Lushan somewhere, somebody wrote, I realized that I was losing my company thousands of dollars in all the arguments I was winning. So if you realize that you need that for success, when it comes to Torah, well, we understand that Torah is about bonding with Hashem. Doing mitzvahs is about bonding with Hashem. Learning Torah is about bonding with Hashem. We need to move our egos out of the way. Now, again, this is a big subject. How does it play out practically? We're not getting into that right now. But this, in a very general way, is condition number two. And if you look through the Memches Kinyani Torah, the 48, we'll call it keys to acquiring Torah, you'll find so many of them revolving around this issue of lowering your head, being unassuming, moving your ego out of the way. Because the more you move your ego out of the way, the more Hashem is there. The more your ego is there, the more there's you in the picture. We want to get to a place, again, if it's about bonding with Hashem, we want to get to a place where we move our own ego out of the way as much as possible in order to just allow Hashem, so to speak, to shine through us, to connect with us. So that's condition number two. And then condition number three is in the classic Rashi on the continuation of this pasuk. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar. Yisrael camped to the opposite the mountain. It does not say vayachanu, they. It doesn't say in the plural that they camped there. It says he camped there. It's in the singular. And, right, there's the famous Rashi, ki ish echad belev echad. Like one person with one heart. This is the third point, which also finds so much expression when you go through the list of the 48 Kinyanei Torah, the Achdus, the putting down the barriers between ourselves. The way the Maharal puts it is, Hashem is one. And again, like we said before, Torah, it manifests as a lifestyle. It manifests as learning material. But what is it in essence? In essence, what it is we bond with Hashem through the Torah. We connect with Hashem through the Torah. So therefore, Maharal says, Hashem is one. Hashem will best connect with something that's one, right? If you think of it in these terms, you put it into a mundane mashal. A mundane mashal is that if you, let's say, you know, you have a ceramic pot, breaks into a few pieces, you manage to kind of like put it together, you know, sometimes you can just kind of push the pieces back together and it'll stand very gingerly, you leave it very delicately on the table, it'll still stand a little bit, right? But then you want to come and pour a chalent into it. So picture, yeah, you have it kind of, all the shards are together, about 10 shards. You pour the chalent, it's all going to fall apart into, need one bowl, one solid bowl. So you want Shechina to connect. If there's a whole bunch of fragmented pieces and the Shechina is one, it's just not going to stick, right? Because you don't want to fragment. The Shechina doesn't want to be fragmented. The more one it is, the more the Shechina kiviyachol will be able to properly rest on it. And therefore, that's how the Maharal keeps expressing it throughout his commentary on the 48 Kinyanei Torah. The way he keeps expressing it is, a Torah nitna laklal. The Torah was given to the whole, to the many. So, having said that, I'm going to give an insight of the Kli Yakar on this. Now he kind of puts this together in a very, very beautiful way. He gives a beautiful perspective on this. He says, "What made that happen?" Klal Yisrael arrived at Har Sinai. They departed from Rephidim, as we discussed before. He really focuses on the last two. With their egos lowered and in a state of Achdus. So again, we understand that they had been working now for 49 days very intensely. That's the essence of the Sfira. Very intensely working up to it. But he says it's more than that. they arrived at Sinai. I have to realize, even though the full revelation happened at the moment of Shavuos morning, when they arrived at Sinai, the Shekhinah was already there waiting for them. You see Moshe, right, that it was covered with the cloud, and Moshe is going up and down, and it was already there. From Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the whole process of the Sphira moved into like a different gear. The Shekhinah was already there, and everything started accelerating now, as Hashem joined the process of bringing them to the level of Kabbalah Satayu. But they already came there, and they already were starting to see things that were awesome, mind-boggling. Seeing Kiviyochol, Hashem, the presence, the very, very great presence, the Malachim, whatever it is they saw. I can't tell you what it is they saw, but we know that when it reached the ultimate, it says that they mamish, they their souls left their bodies. But the Kli Yoko says that seeing the awesomeness of it, they felt so small, right? They already were able to see what I am when I'm looking up at the immensity of Kiviyachal, the Gilui Shechina, the revelation of the Shechina. He said the ego's melting away was just natural. Right? They felt so inadequate. They felt awed. They felt overwhelmed at the fact that I'm going to be connecting with this. In fact, Tosfos says that that's one of the reasons that says that Hashem had to, so to speak, hold the mountain over them and say, you have to accept the Torah, otherwise you'll be buried here. So the question everybody asks is, they had already said Nasav and Ishma. Right? Why did Hashem have to force them after they said Nasav and Ishma? So one answer that Tosfos gives is that when they were actually exposed to the Eish HaGdola, to the awesome sights that were going on, they realized, whoa, this is something so much over our head. We're meant to be taking on all this, connecting to all this. This is too much for us. Even after they said, Nasav and Ishma, whatever it is, when they were seeing all this, seeing what it is that they're connecting with, they automatically felt themselves just shrinking into insignificance. And therefore, the ego's melting away was natural. And along with that, the Kli Yoko says, comes the Achdus. Because what is it that divides between me and the other people around me? It's the ego. It's the pride. It's my personal agendas, right? It can either be ego, or it can be that, you know, we both want the same job. We both want the same social status. We're competing with each other. But he says, once they saw this connecting to Hashem, they all wanted nothing else. Nothing else in the world meant anything once they were exposed to it in such a way. They were all completely joined to that one agenda. We can all connect to this. We can all become a part of this, become a part of being bound up with Hashem in this way. So any personal agendas just fell away. Any sense of ego just fell away. And so naturally, the result was, the consequence was, we're all joined in this. There is nothing dividing us. There's no us here, Bichlal. We all have a chance to bond with Hashem in such a way. We're all in it together and intensely. Okay, we learned. Okay, we did good headway here. We got through the first two psukim of the parsha. We only have another 30 ahead of us or so. But okay, we'll stop here. But we've been introduced to the atmosphere, to the aura that we're moving into as we actually enter Chodesh Sivan and approach Har Sinai Be'ezus Hashem. Okay, we'll stop the recording. If there are any questions, they're welcome. If not, we will...